Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's talk some Packers football with our green and gold analyst, Paul Immig.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
And we welcome in Paul on the Schneider Orange Hotline. All our guests join us there, and you're here, Paul Immig. What's happening, Paul?
Hey, Tim, man, how are you?
More important, how you are.
Yes, I wanted it. I needed it. I got it.
Yes, you did. Yes, yes, indeed. Hey, training camp going to fire up next week. You're about ready to get a lot busier as your season's just about ready to fire up. 50 days, that's 50 days from today. It's Bears and Packers to fire up the 2019 championship season. And we just had a conversation about what, not really Aaron Rodgers, but one of the statements I made, that's the one thing I'm looking forward to most with Green Bay Packers football is Aaron Rodgers' play on the field. I cannot wait to see that. It is going to be amazing. What about you? Want to get your Aaron Rodgers take and also what you're looking most forward to?
Yeah, I mean, my Aaron Rodgers take is, I mean, that there's, I mean, it doesn't take much of a hot take to say that he is storyline A this season. The relationship with him and Matt LaFleur, and does the offense work? Does Rodgers go back to, you know, what he was prior to the injury he suffered in, what was that, week five of the 2017 season? Or is sort of the Rodgers that we've seen for the past year and a half, whether it be by injuries or lesser performance, is that the guy that's here to stay? If old Rodgers comes back, I don't care what anybody says to him. And, you know, it's not like I'm always Mr. Optimistic about the Packers. I have plenty of negative things to say now and throughout the years. But if Rodgers goes back to playing the way he did, you know, really prior to the injury in 2017, this is a Super Bowl contending team. I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's just a reasonable thing that you have a team right now that I think is built very well, not necessarily as top heavy as it was. A defense that, as I've talked with Bill about, should be, could be, we should maybe have set an expectation that they are a top 12, top 10 maybe defense in a lot of the key statistical categories. And then it will just come down to, does Rodgers, you know, play like a Hall of Fame quarterback again, or is he just sort of a, you know, top half of the league but not necessarily elite anymore guy? And as Rodgers goes, the rest of the team will go, because I do think this will be a year where the defense wins the Packers a bunch of games. But again, the swing factor that a QB has on a team's season is exponentially greater than what any other singular player or position group can do. So, you know, I think, again, it reminds me a little bit, and again, this is very, very, very premature, but if the Packers have as good of a defense as I think they could have, a lot like they had in 2010, and the offense is actually able to click under this new system, it's a dangerous team. If Rodgers is what he was last year, you know, then you're fighting for a playoff spot. So that's a pretty big ceiling-to-floor swing, and I think that's why there's, I think, at least in my opinion, more anticipation for this season than in some past when there was more consistency with McCarthy and just sort of the standard bearer and all the norms. But this is a huge, like, large scale what if year. And of course, it definitely does start with Rodgers and the LaFleur offense.
Well, I've been high on Aaron Rodgers pretty much throughout his career. And other Packers fans that just love Aaron Rodgers and maybe are blind to it. Sell me why you would maybe entertain the idea that there are diminished skills.
Well, I mean, he's been starting in the league for more than a decade. He suffered significant injuries, several of them, you know, the collarbone things and now the legs, if they start to, you know, sort of repeat stuff, you know, like repeat type things where that would be, you know, the caveat is some guys, once they start accumulating a laundry list of injuries, you know, it goes downhill quickly. I think what the most important thing is with that is if you sort of study the past 5-year trajectory of Tom Brady and of Drew Brees as they reach their mid-30s and then their upper-30s, Rodgers being 35 right now, is what Sean Payton and Bill Belichick, of course, with his offensive coordinators, have done is balance the attack a lot more. And I think that's why you know, by far the most thing I'm fascinated in, and I don't want to make a week one judgment on it. I want to give it at least like a quarter of the season through week four. If Rodgers listens to LaFleur and does what I think LaFleur wants him to do, I think you'll see a much more balanced attack. I think you'll see fewer extended plays where Rodgers is trying to be Superman out on the run and leaving the pocket and flinging the ball 50 yards downfield on a play that he crafted up in the huddle because he, you know, wanted to override the McCarthy call and whatever, and all the things we heard about from Mercedes Lewis and everybody else. If he just says, hey, I'm going to sit in the pocket, I'm going to do quick dumps to the running back, I'm going to hit the play as it develops in the second and a half, you know, then Rodgers is going to be great again. So my caveats are the injuries, but the one thing that would limit the impact that those career-long, you know, sort of 10-plus years of wear and tear would do is you can negate that if you just play a quicker offense. And again, that's what Drew Brees did. It's what Tom Brady did. No, they were never as much of scramblers as Rodgers. We all know that. So it's like, can Rodgers be a disciplined enough passer, team leader, et cetera, that he's willing to change and adapt to maybe where, you know, his being a 35-year-old with multiple injuries has taken him. I know it's not what he wants. He prides himself on being in great shape and doing everything he can do to never have to change his playing style. I would say if he's, you know, I don't want to say smart about it, but if he's proactive about it, I think he might be better served to adapt to the LaFleur offense and just make the passes a much quicker countdown clock and not such, you know, extended stuff, because I think that's where he could start to get himself into trouble and where you might see more injuries occur, or you might see the fact that he's probably slowed down a little bit as he's aged, where you see this thing happen more, of course, if the plays are extended more often.
Now I got to come back and defend Aaron Rodgers again, Paul. I do. What's this? Who's to say that Matt LaFleur is this end-all, be-all, and you got to do what I say because he's a first-year coach? I mean, we have to understand that. So Joe's right, and he said it last hour. He is right on this. There has to be compromise on this, but it can't be across the board. Can't be across the board. Hey, man, listen to me because I'm a first-year coach. Just like any other job, you get a new job, there's some evolution to it. There, you get better at your craft as you move along. I think working with Aaron Rodgers can hasten that process, can speed things up a little bit for LaFleur.
I partially agree. I do think that there's compromise. I don't think there's any question whatsoever who the actual end-all, be-all is in terms of, like, Packers are 1-8, and who do we get rid of, the coach or the quarterback? Like,
right,
nah, like
right.
Rodgers is going to win that battle every time. But I'm not super comfortable with the idea that a singular player is bigger than the head coach. That's sort of like always like my stopping point. Like, if you look at Rodgers' resume and LaFleur's resume, Rodgers' resume kicks LaFleur's resume's, you know what? Like, it's not even, it's a decisive win for Aaron Rodgers' resume. And he's making like 7 times more dollars on an annual basis than his head coach. So again, the power struggle is like a very obvious who's actually in charge here. I think it's just more about, and I've gone back and done this, Tim. Like, I went back and watched the way that Drew Brees' career sort of changed at age 35. Now, granted, he had been working with Sean Payton for more than a decade, and there was tons of trust built, and Sean Payton had done great things in the league. LaFleur hasn't. But it was one of those that you just saw a change in the way Payton and Brees sort of ran things and relied more heavily on the run, on the quicker passes. And again, this is not to say that Brees was ever the scrambler and the downfield guy that Rodgers was from an outside-the-pocket perspective. So, yeah, this isn't meant as like a shade Rodgers situation. It's just if push came to shove, we know who will actually win that battle. I would just prefer if, early on at least, if Rodgers deferred, and then, hey, if things aren't working, go back to, you know, kind of go back to resting on your, you know, your Hall of Fame career and what you did to get to that point. But we all hate him. I mean, everyone gets older. Everyone gets slower. No matter how perfectly you take care of your body, he's not going to move like Baker Mayfield. It's just, you know, father time undefeated, all the good cliches. That's, you know, I think we started to see that happen. Is it because he just became 35, or is it because he has this history of injuries? I don't know which it is. I just think there's at some point here, it doesn't have to be because it's LaFleur. It could have been under McCarthy. It could have been under some other coach had they hired Adam Gase or whomever. I think at some point, a quarterback in his mid-30s needs to change that style, and I'm very, very curious to see if Rodgers actually does.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. Our Green and Gold analyst on the Bill Michaels Show, Paul Imig, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So you have that kind of you know, really a focus and see how Aaron Rodgers is going to coexist with all of this. And but then shortly after that, I think a lot of people are interested in that defense. And this defense has the potential of being really good, and we're not used to that in Green Bay, at least in the last few years. How good is that defense?
Well, we have a lot to find out. You know, like it's easier for, I think, most people, and I'll include myself in that, to get excited about the new additions and the fact that if you look at the huge money spent in free agency with the Darius and Preston Smith, with Adrian Amos, and then, of course, draft assets, two first-round picks, Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage, one of whom was Savage you traded up to get to make sure that you got what they thought was the best safety in the draft class. But having said that, like, I'm extremely high on his defense. What I always try to measure it against him is, like, am I too close when I think things are too negative or too positive? And then I take a step back and I say, like, okay, so what is the national perspective? What are the people who are looking at the Packers no more closely than they're looking at the Dolphins, no more closely than they're looking at the Jets? And when I start to see national articles, which have been coming out in the recent week, talking about that this is a Packers defense that's going to be the better part of their team this year, a Packers defense that should be a top 10 group, a Packers defense that under Mike Pettine in the second year and all these offseason additions, it's sort of like put up or shut up time to take over and become the better unit between the offense and the defense. And I just say, oh, okay, so like I kind of feel validated a little bit then in that opinion that it's not just being too close to the situation with
right.
the Packers. And so, I mean, if you want like an optimism level for this defense being really good, at the very least, I would say very good, I have an optimism of like an 8 or a 9 on a scale of 10. I'm a big believer in Mike Pettine. I just don't think he had the right puzzle pieces to fit what he wanted to do last year. Now they let him go get, quote-unquote, like his type of guys, and I think, this is anything short of a top 12 defense, I think, is going to be a disappointment. It should be a defense that carries the team to wins. And I'll just end on this. I mentioned this maybe a few weeks ago. I don't think we should be surprised if the Packers pick up a couple 16, 14 wins this year. Like that, we might have to adjust our expectation for what a Packer win looks like, and I think they might be built to actually do that.
Oh, man, Les Lambeau leaps. Are you kidding me, Paul? Come on, man.
Hey, the Lambeau leaps started with a defensive play.
That's true. Hey, Paul, we'll cut you loose here. I appreciate a good conversation on the Aaron Rodgers front and more to come on that. Appreciate it. Have a great day, all right?
You too. Thanks, Emig.
And there he is, Paul Emig on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.